Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. With our text, Jesus has recently ridden triumphantly into Jerusalem amid the crowds who welcomed him, saying, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." And then the context continues and says that he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. What did Jesus see before he went out to Bethany? He had to observe that the temple courts were filled with pilgrims from all over for the Passover. But the court of the Gentiles had once again been turned into what resembles many a church, that is, a marketplace. Booths were set up for the exchange of the Roman and Greek coins for the Jewish half shekel with which the temple tax would be paid. But of course, the exchange was at an escalated price, and it wasn't favorable at all for the pilgrim. But the leadership rationalized this by saying it was a convenience. There were also sellers of the certified doves and pigeons and other animals for the sacrifices. Another convenience for what pilgrim would want to come from some distance caring for a pigeon or a dove, only to find that he brought it alive all the way from home and found that it didn't pass the inspection of the priests who were taking a cut of the proceeds. There were other sellers nearby besides these in the temple, but these had the approval of the chief priest, and they sure were convenient. Jesus also observed that the court of the Gentiles had become a shortcut. People carrying goods and implements to and from the markets were accustomed to cutting through the court of the Gentiles through the eastern and western gate as a convenient way between the city and the Mount of Olives. The next day, upon Jesus' return to the temple, we see what happens. He proceeds to clear out the court of the Gentiles. He drove out those who were buying and selling. He overturned the table of the money changers, and he closed the shortcut. So much, we might say, for the convenience. And then Jesus taught. He taught that the temple was to be a house of prayer for the nations. It was for all of the people to come to the true God, not all the nations gathering in some sort of universalistic prayer to all their local gods, but people coming to the true God who is available for all. As Isaiah 56 declares, "For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant, to them I will give in my house and within my walls a memorial and a name better than that of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name which will not be cut off. Also the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone who keeps from profaning the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even those I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all the peoples. The Lord God, who gathers the dispersed of Israel, declares, yet others I will gather to them, to those already gathered." Thus Jesus criticized the misuse of the temple when he quotes this passage and declares, Is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all the nations? But you have made it a den of robbers. The temple needed to be cleansed. This cleansing was the second cleansing of the temple by Jesus. St. John records another 2 years before, where Jesus made a whip out of cords and drove out the money changers. The fact that it had to be done again pointed out that the desecration of the temple courts for the case of expediency or convenience or graft was great. And the temple could not, in this condition, be that house of prayer for the nations, for the Gentiles. For the sake of the convenience and the profit of some, the Gentiles had lost their place of worship, lost it to the mess, the smell of cattle and birds, the din of haggling over the exchange of coins, and the bargaining over a price of a sacrifice. Today there are a lot of things done in the church for convenience, for expedience, even for profit. It seems that there is always something for sale. As I travel the nation and get into many Lutheran churches, you see all sorts of things. Display cases, literature tables, visitor centers, all cropping up to seemingly make the entrance to worship all the more different. And their worship folders are stuffed with more sales flyers than your morning newspaper. The noisy narthex often interferes with a quiet pre-service meditation by the faithful. But they are all still far from what was happening in the temple that day. The marketplace at the temple but illustrated the need for change in the worship of Israel. And Jesus began a radical change that day. He opened the court once again of the Gentiles for worship, for prayer. But another more radical change was also in the process by Jesus. For Jesus soon would open the access to God for all mankind. No more would perfect doves, pigeons, or lambs need to be sold at some high price and then offered as a sacrifice. For he, the Lamb of God, was there, the real high-priced sacrifice, taking away the sins of the world. This, too, was a matter of convenience, true expedience, as Caiaphas the high priest declared. It is expedient for you that one man die for the people and the whole nation not perish. The once and for all time sacrifice by the perfect sacrifice would rend the veil that separated man from God, and we would all have access to the true Holy of Holies through the forgiveness of sins delivered by word and sacrament. Much more was happening that week in the life of Christ, so much for us. He cleansed the temple to give the Gentiles a place to pray. But more importantly, he would cleanse forever those who were being saved through his once-for-all-time Passover sacrifice for us. Rejoice, believers. Take to heart these words from 1 John. This is a message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now that's real convenience. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.